Pastor Dave Rolfe points to the greatness and majesty of God. Next on The Balanced Word.
He's huge. He's amazing. He's everywhere. He does so much that points us back to Him. Everything beautiful, everything warm and fuzzy, everything that feels special, every time you're ever surprised in your life, every roller coaster should point you to God and who He is and how, wow, roller coasters are a lot like life with God, because they really are. Open your eyes. Life is amazing. God is amazing. And grace is amazing.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hey, welcome again to The Balanced Word. Pastor Dave Rolfe will be along shortly to continue our series, Smarter Living. Do you sometimes run across statements or phrases in the Bible and are a little confused about the meaning? I think it's safe to say many have that feeling about the phrase, the fear of the Lord. We're told in the Bible to do it well over 200 times. Does this mean we're to be afraid of Him, or what is He driving at? Pastor Dave will set out to help us understand this often misunderstood statement and show us why it's so important that we do it.
I really can't learn anything until I realize how insignificant I truly am in the overall scope of things. See, if I think that if I'm pretty impressed with me, then nothing else is going to impress me that much. It's one of the reasons why we are so awe-inspired when we see how big the universe is. Or when we stand on the shore at the ocean and we look at the water just that extends as far as we can, all of a sudden, my problems don't seem as big. I'm a little speck on a planet that's a little speck in a universe that God has created. And so it's important, if I'm ever going to learn anything, I need to realize how stupid I am. And the fear of God does that. It goes, okay, you got a lot to learn. There's so much more than what you can describe or explain or categorize or quantify. Oh boy, I better get busy picking up knowledge and wisdom. And a proper respect for God is what will make you the best student that you can ever be. But he also says there in chapter 14 that it leads to confidence. Because even though I can feel in awe of him and insignificant in a lot of ways, yet I also have this sense of the power of God, the imagination of God, the miraculous ability that he has to do things that we never thought of. And I go, man, there's nothing at stake for me but moving forward no matter what I'm going through in life. And I've got this God that does such amazing things. And if God can do all this, then he can certainly help me in what I'm going through. As soon as people lose their sense of fear of God, they also lose their sense of hope that things can get better. Because it says we see how amazing he is, that we can expect amazement to happen in our own lives. He also, we saw there in chapter 8 that he said, fear of God means you hate evil. There are some things in life that are destroying people, and we should hate those things. There's something wrong with us when we look at evil and it doesn't disgust us. And all of that comes from not seeing God for who he is, really. So therefore, oh, ho-hum, it is what it is, doesn't really matter, I don't know. There are things we should hate. There are things we should be passionate about. And having that awe of God helps us to keep that perspective. Of course, one of the most important things is that fearing God lets you know God. The knowledge of the Holy One comes as we see him for who he is in all of his glory and all of his splendor and all of his power. And, you know, if you want to know God, you don't just learn him by studying facts about him. You will know God better by looking at what he has made and going, whoa. And you'll ever know him by reading about him. I mean, yesterday we went for a motorcycle ride up the coast, and we went up there to Palos Verde and going around the peninsula, and it's just like, I'm not going, wow, look what Donald Trump made. I'm going, God made an amazing place. It's just gorgeous how he made this in such a way that I can appreciate even the, you know, a beautiful golf course or a beach that's being taken care of, or the fact that I can ride on that highway and see that beauty and there's a free place to park. It's like, man. It was awesome, and it caused me, as I'm riding my motorcycle, I'm just praising God. I'm thanking him for making this beautiful place and giving me the opportunity and, you know, in order to go and appreciate it and enjoy it. And, you know, again, you not only know him, it also just makes you more alive. Several of those verses talk about it's life. This is to see God in his glory. To be intimidated by him in a way is what makes us feel more alive. And so those are some reasons why I think we need that understanding of the greatness of God, of the majesty of God, of the absolutely indescribable glory of God. God wants us to know that because it changes us. It affects us. So you have to ask yourself, in our day and age, is this a problem? Do people need to understand that we need to move more in this direction? Our world has become so jaded and so bored, it's ridiculous. You know, I think Satan has two things that he loves to do to us. One of them is he loves to make us bored, and the other one is he loves to make us busy. Because, and boredom and busyness are almost the same thing, really. It's when you get busy, there's nothing that really matters. It's just all this stuff. How sad if your life is just all about producing widgets or you know, getting, you know, trying to finish your list. And boredom is the same kind of way. It's just like we turn into zombies. We turn into people who are just, we're just going through the motions. Nothing excites us. Nothing impassions us. We're just enduring. We're just kind of hanging in there. God calls us to something more than that. And the devil would love to rip us off by keeping us bored and busy. There's also today a new generation, and I don't want to sound like this old crotchety fart that, you know, is like, yeah, they're young people today, but, you know, there is almost, sorry. I woke you up. But, you know, you look at young people today and you go, guy, is there no respect at all? You look back, if you're a little older, and you think, yeah, people really respected their elders at one point. It was expected. You respected your teachers. If you got in trouble with your teacher at school, you were in trouble at home as well. And you knew they had things that they would do to you. Now, you get in trouble at school, you come home and your parents call a lawyer. So you can go sue the school. But it's, you know, there's no respect for law enforcement, for government, for God himself. It's just like, yeah, you know, we're not. We have so placated a generation to make them feel like they're all special just because they tried. That everybody gets a trophy and everyone wins. That now, do younger people even understand sometimes the concept of respect, the concept of being in awe? And it's no different in Christianity. We worship, for the most part nowadays, a tame God, you know, a friendly God. For generations, people would come to church and feel like majesty. And there was a certain, and you can go too far with this for sure, but the point is that coming to God meant, okay, we're quiet, we're thoughtful, we're reflective, we're even amazed. But today we have reduced God to somebody who's just your buddy. You know, God is like, yeah, Jesus is my homie. Jesus is my best friend. I have a close, intimate relationship with him. And you vacillate between, yeah, he's my buddy, that like, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can high five him, I can fist bump the Holy Spirit, or on the other hand, we're just like, and some of the songs really disturb me, because if you listen to them, it sounds like, you think Jesus is your boyfriend? I mean, that's kind of the way it can feel. I think it's necessary for us to see God for who he is. The idea of your own close personal savior is not what the Bible ever talks about. You know, Jesus lived with his disciples for 3 years, but when they saw him, they fell on their faces. They were like amazed. They never thought, yep, us and Jesus, we're all buds, we're best friends. No, he's the God that made us. And I think today, in trying to help people to understand that, yes, we have an opportunity to be close to God. Yes, he wants us to be family with him. Yes, he wants to be with us forever, but he's God and we're not. And I think today people kind of lose a sense of that a little bit, and it hurts. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, when the children were about to meet Aslan the lion, who was a figure of a metaphor for Jesus, and as they were describing this lion, Lucy says, "Wow, is he safe?" And they said, "Haven't you been listening to us? No, he's not safe, but he's good." And there's that sense sometimes that we just lose. I think there are people today in our culture who actually choose pain just so that they can feel alive. You have kids who are like cutting themselves just to, the fact that they bleed makes them feel like, okay, at least I'm alive. Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, wrote this song called Hurt. And he says, "I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real." And I think that our culture today, our society, just has this sense of, I don't even know what's real. It's why more people die of suicide today than die in car accidents. And you look at the way some people drive, that's really amazing. It really is. In a lot of ways, people who have no passion for the greatness and the majesty of God is partly an indication that the church has failed them, that we haven't let them see that this is amazing. Now, let me just say this. At the same time, there are churches that really try to be passionate all the time. They try to bring you up to a level of excitement and keep you there. Well, just like fear and just like roller coasters and everything else, your body is not equipped to deal with a constant burst of adrenaline. But it's made to every once in a while experience that, because it keeps your system going. And I'm not suggesting that, oh, it's time for us to roll in the aisles. Let's bring back the chandeliers so we can swing from them. What I'm saying is, do we even give people the impression that God is amazing, that he is awesome? Today, and I'm really careful, I hate to even mention this, so naturally I probably shouldn't, but I will. Today there's a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical industry. Let me say this. I'm really thankful that doctors have tools, chemical tools, to help people who are so depressed that they can't function anymore to be able to function and save their lives. So don't stop taking your medication because of what I'm saying. I'm also thankful that in some cases, children are unable to function without having certain pharmaceutical help, okay? But let me just be this word of caution. Our brainwashing of people to eliminate the passion from our lives, it was foretold back in the 30s by Brave New World, by Aldous Huxley, and in the 40s by George Orwell in 1984, that someday our world would become this dystopia where no extremes are allowed, where everyone would just be the same and under control and really boring and consistent. Someday, we may look back on this time and say, you know what? We drugged way too many people to cause them just to not feel passionate. That they felt like, I can't deal with the pain, and so it's better off just to feel a whole lot less. I think a lot of creative people have been robbed of their expressions of creativity because we act like that's a bad thing. And again, and I'm as a former educator, I'm on shady ground here, but I also think that in some ways, because our systems are designed to cram 30-some kids in a classroom, that when there's a kid who's really passionate and really excitable and they actually act like kids, we need to knock that out of them by making them boring and monotonous, and that's how you know you have the right dosage. I think sometimes we're going to look back and go, what in the world were we thinking that we took every kind of extreme expression out of our culture? That we thought it was best was for everyone to sit there and be able to be like zombies and go through, do their work and finish and then go into that kind of a life. Again, I'm sorry if that's offensive and I could be totally wrong on it. I'm just saying, I'm just speculating. I think someday it'll turn out that yeah, we should have been a little more cautious about this. But what are we really saying when it says fear God? I think it's so important that as people, as human beings, we choose passion. We choose awe and amazement and fear. We welcome those as something that our body is equipped to process. And I don't want to settle for being just a boring, blah, level person without extremes. It's a mistake to do that. And when it comes to life, and when it comes to God, we certainly ought to go, wow, sometimes. We certainly should go, I'm feeling this. I'm all of a sudden, this is all that matters. We need to choose that. Everything that amazes us in life ultimately points us toward God. Everything that ever made you afraid, or everything that made you scream, or everything that made your heart race, everything that stopped your breath, every bit of it points at God. It points at who He is, and you can find that connection very easily when you think about it. And it's so important for us to realize that not only is life amazing, but God is amazing. And life is amazing because everything is created by an amazing God. Are you so bored and so jaded that you've lost your capacity to see the majesty, the miracles that are all around you? Maybe it's time to go out somewhere, slow your life down, take some time off, and go the place, the last place in your life that really amazed you, and ask yourself, how come I don't feel this anymore? How come this is such a foreign concept that when we're talking about this heart-stopping excitement, it's like I'm thinking back in the day, but I'm not thinking now. It's so important for us to have a hold of that, because if we don't have a hold of that, we don't have a hold of God. We don't really know God. If we don't have that feeling that feels so much like fear, that it's almost a synonym. Not afraid of what God's going to do to us, of course not, but just realizing, wow, he's huge, he's amazing, he's everywhere. He does so much that points us back to him. Everything beautiful, everything warm and fuzzy, everything that feels special, every time you're ever surprised in your life, every roller coaster should point you to God and who He is, and how, wow, roller coasters are a lot like life with God, because they really are. Open your eyes. Life is amazing. God is amazing, and grace is amazing. I love that old hymn that we used to sing called, and it says, the chorus of it is, amazing love. How could it be that thou, my God, would die for me? It amazes me that God loves me that much. Now, if you're here today and you've never really entered into a personal connection to God, you've never actually asked Him to forgive your sins or to work in your life or to give you a fresh start, it may sound amazing. It may be that the reason you haven't is because all the Christians you know look so boring that you're like, I don't, whatever they're drinking, I'm not. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm so sorry. But look past jaded Christians to the idea of God reaching out from heaven to tell you He will forgive you when no one else does. He will love you like no one else will. And everything that's beautiful in this world and everything that's exciting and thrilling in this world is a message from Him telling you, wake up, man. It's time to focus. It's time to see life for what it really is. And all He asks of you and of me is to say, I want that. I want that amazing, blessed forgiveness. I want life to be so free that I know whatever I do, He will forgive me. And I can reach out and be passionate and get excited about everything around me and realize I know the guy who did all this. I know the guy who designed me. And I'm telling you, the reason we call it amazing grace is that when you see what God has done for you and your jaw doesn't drop, something wrong. It's just like for people who say they know God, but they never tell anybody about God. It's like, really? You're not that amazed, are you? But I'm talking to people who have never taken that step. Why would you turn down an opportunity to be forgiven of everything you've ever messed up and instead to begin life new and free and exciting? So if you haven't accepted Him, I pray that you'll do it today. Come on down to the front. If you need prayer for any reason, maybe you're somebody who's just like, I'll tell you this, man, my life has lost its passion. When roller coasters started hurting my back and neck, I don't think I've been thrilled ever since. And you would just like God to begin to work fresh in your life. Hey, come down and get some prayer. Start fresh today. Let's just not get so busy and so bored that we miss the reality of reasons everywhere why we should just be in awe of God, why we should look at God and go, that's scary, that's amazing. So don't just settle for blah. Look for passion.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish up our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all the things You do just to get our attention. And we're sorry for all the times we just ignore it, or we just take it for granted, or we just keep our head down and keep living a boring life because that's what's comfortable for us. We've got tired of being scared. We've got sick of being amazed. We really are. We're afraid our heart won't survive the next surprise. Lord, help us to not miss anything about you in our lives and in our world. And for people who really need to get to know the source of all passion, I pray that you will just let them know today is the day when they come down and they pray and they start life fresh. Help them to just know inside them that it's real. And help each one of us to make whatever adjustments we need to make in life where we begin to notice the things we stopped noticing a long time ago. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll hear more about the way to smarter living as we dive deeper into the Proverbs next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. God bless. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up, early.